We're going to begin a new series today. When we took a sermon planning retreat earlier this year, we were talking about kind of the end of the summer. And in that process, one of the things that we felt God leading us to was this topic of one another. This word in the Greek is used in the New Testament. If I'm just focusing on the New Testament, one another is used around 100 times. It occurs 100 times in 94 different New Testament verses. This resounding emphasis of one another, of Christian community, of life together. So we begin to trace that theme and try to identify major themes. And we're going to spend some time here just these few weeks before we get back into the busyness of school, the busyness of the fall, responsibilities, focusing on this idea of authentic Christian community. This belief that isn't just something we have made up as a church, but goes back to Jesus, and it's this belief that we are called to practice Christian community, genuine, authentic Christian community in our homes and our neighborhoods. And as we thought about this topic, we became very aware that everything, it seems, in our culture is pulling us away from that. And at times, even leaders like myself and as the church, we've been guilty of contributing to the problem rather than helping it. We throw another program at you. We busy up your life even more. And life becomes so chaotic and busy, and we have between work and in most homes now, both spouses work outside of the home. The reality of pressures of school busyness, we tend to crowd out the space to be present as one another. One another in the body of Jesus Christ with a purpose, not just on Sunday mornings, but in our homes, in our neighborhoods. Authentic, genuine Christian community. So my prayer, our prayer, is that during this series, our hope is that God would open our eyes. And he began to create this sense. I feel more than anything, this sense of need of authentic Christian community that might get us thinking, me included, and everything we do, our staff, our board, our leaders, you as lay people, right now, thinking about what can we do in our homes, our neighborhoods, to create this one another authentic Christian community. In beginning this, we're going to be looking at a number of topics the next couple weeks. Next week, we're going to look at forgive one another. And that's a big one for all of us. It's difficult at times. We're going to look at topics like Scripture says, pray for one another, be kind to one another. There's several I could go on. But to start off today, before we even look at any of those others, we have to look at what is at the very foundation, that without this, nothing else matters. Serving one another can be done for selfish reasons. Everything we look at, serving, praying, forgiving, without love, it's incomplete. This is so foundational. Love is the foundational and essential ingredient for authentic Christian community. It starts with love. I took 2 weeks of vacation, and I've started to do that. I get 3 weeks a year, and I've started to take 2 of those weeks together because what I've experienced is the first week I have a hard time disconnecting. And I've noticed that with some of my pastor friends I've talked to that they do the same thing. But sometimes those first few days, you're kind of, I don't think it's used to being a pastor. I think many of us, we work and we find ourselves in that place, and it takes a while to disconnect. We finally start to disconnect. And then that second week is, I feel fully disconnected. And then I can reconnect. And during that time, one of the things that I read, there's a book called Boundaries I've been reading. And it's a really good book, but it talks about sometimes when we get away from something, our lives, our normal routines, we then are able to see maybe some things in our own lives that may not be that healthy in us. Because we're able to get out of our situation to then look at it and see some maybe unhealthy behaviors that need to change in my life. And so getting away and being with family, first couple of days we were kind of busy and doing a lot of things that we had neglected around here. And then we left for Branson, Missouri. We spent a week in Branson, Missouri, and We didn't do a ton of really big things, but we did do a few things that were exciting. Silver Dollar City. We did a lot of swimming. There's a wonderful public beach in Branson. We did a lot of hiking, just fun stuff together as families. And all that was so exciting, so fun. And then on our way back last weekend, we stopped for a family reunion in Ava, Missouri. Has anybody heard of Ava, Missouri? Be honest. I got to talk to you after the service. There's one person. There is nothing in Ava, Missouri, okay? And getting there, I felt like, boy, if our car breaks down, I don't know what's going to happen, but I kind of felt like I was on a scary movie, you know, when you're driving. It was like the precursor to something bad happening. So we're driving into this family reunion, and it was to celebrate my wife's grandmother's 80th birthday. And the family is spread out all over the place. There's family that has lived in Germany, in Texas, Alaska, Missouri, Indiana, Illinois. We're kind of all over the place. And we surprised her. And we came and spent 3 days at what was an old campground, kind of like our Manville campground, if you're familiar with the Church of the Nazarene. Very much like that, a campground that was no longer being used, that we had connection to. No one was there. We were able to use their facilities. We spent 3 days there. And I remember during that time, it was coming to the end of our vacation, and we had done so much, and my son Levi came over, and at one moment I had just me and him. And I love when I get those moments in a big family like mine with four kids, when I get those moments where I just get to be one-on-one with a child. There's something about that. And he came over and he just said, "Dad, can I sit on your lap?" He's going to kindergarten this year. That's not going to happen very often. So I was like, "Yes, you can, buddy. Come on my lap." So I'm holding him. We're just sitting there. He's kind of tired. And he said, and I said to him, I said, "Levi, out of our entire vacation, all that we've done, what was the most favorite thing?" What I expected he would say is the cave at Silver Dollar City, the beach, you know, the games we played, this, that. He said, "Being here at my Grandma Joyce's 80th birthday party." And what I understood in that moment again, and I'm just that feeling of you belong. This is family. These are cousins he's never seen, hardly ever seen. And it's amazing how they get around each other. They just know. It's there. They're family. It's like instantly. And there's this place of unconditional love, acceptance. Every single person from the, you know, really from the unborn child that we found out one of the cousins was pregnant with and their fifth child, kind of shocked that they were pregnant with their fifth child. And again, even that to the youngest baby, who's just 3 months old, to the oldest great-grandchild. Every single child, every single person is valued and loved unconditionally. That's what my son loved. Coming back to that, I'm aware and I'm reminded that the busyness of life we get back here, even in our own immediate nuclear, if that's the right phrase, nuclear sounds bad, but families, family nucleus, maybe that's the word. Sometimes it goes nuclear at times in our families. But in our immediate families, we go through tough times. We're not always able to be together. Life happens, busyness. Approaching this topic, I'm aware of what the church should be, of what the church can be. A community. Not a community of uniformity, but an authentic community of people who are made in the image of God, who are loved unconditionally by Him. A community with the best message ever. No matter how broken, no matter how messed up, no matter how hurt you are by your own sin and the sin of others, there's a Redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ. He came to be with us. He gave His life for our sins so that we could be what? Adopted. Saved and adopted. What? Into His own family. I think what my son was talking about in that moment, what he saw, his heart, is what you and I were created for. Not just in our immediate families, but we are created for that as a church family, as the body of Jesus. We are created to belong to one another. We are created to love one another, and we need that. Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 through 35, He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And I read that over and over, and it's so easy just for all of us to be like, oh yeah, we've read that 1,000 times, but do we really understand what Jesus is saying? Do I really understand what he's saying when he's saying, this is the way people will know? Not accolades, not whatever it is, whatever program we're doing, this, as important as those things are. The way other people outside who don't belong to this family, who need to belong to this family, will know that we are followers of Jesus is when we love one another. Jesus is talking here specifically about inside. Other places he talks about outside, loving our neighbors, loving those who are out, even our enemies. But here he's talking about inside the family. We have to love one another. We cannot forget, and even as we've articulated a mission statement to make mature and multiply followers of Jesus of all people in the greater Peoria area, even as we articulate mission and we communicate that, we cannot forget what the primary goal and focus of Christianity is all about: loving God and loving others. We cannot forget that that's not the means to the end. That's not the means to getting people saved, although we want them saved. That is the end. And sometimes we viewed it that way, like, well, I need to love this person so that I can lead them to Jesus. That is what we want. But loving people and loving one another is what we were created for. When life goes wrong is when, rather than loving God and loving others, we love self. And that can creep even into the church. But God has called us to something more, to love one another. The way people will know that we are genuine followers of Jesus is by our love. It is the primary evidence that God desires. So I think we have to ask ourselves some questions. Are we a loving Christian community? Or is our love just a sentiment? Is it just an emotion? Do we sacrificially serve one another in the church family? Because when people watch us sacrificially serving one another, they know that we don't belong to this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We belong to another family, the family of God. Is Christian love our primary goal? Is it the pursuit that we have? Just a couple chapters later, John 15:12, Jesus again emphasizes this. He says, this is my commandment. This is the commandment here. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We are to love people in the same way that Jesus has loved us. As we pattern our lives after him, the desire is that we would reflect him to one another in the church family, that we would be like him, and that we would love as he loves us. Paul picks up on this theme, and he talks about that Christian love requires that we embrace a mindset. For us to truly love one another, we have to embrace a different way of thinking. And in Romans 12, Paul picks up on this. Look, listen to what he says. He says, so we, referring to the church, the body of Jesus, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Even though we're many and we're unique, we're not uniform, we're different ages, different shapes, different sizes. We're all different, we're totally different in so many ways, different backgrounds, different personalities. Because of God's love in Christ that has brought us into this family, we embrace a new mindset. And that mindset is that we belong to one body. And we, as a consequence of belonging to Jesus, we belong to each other. Authentic one another Christian community involves that we embrace that mindset. Now, that mindset's very different than before we knew Jesus. Well, I only need you if you're going to give me what I need out of that. I might need affirmation. I might need security. If you give me those things, I want you in my life. But if you don't bother. Or unhealthily, we seek those things in other people. But in the body of Christ, we belong. We have community. We have authentic relationship. We have to embrace this new mindset that we're part of something bigger than even our own immediate families. As important, as special, and crucial as those are, we belong to an extended Christian family. You know, what if we viewed Sundays, I think of this, like going away to this thing at vacation in Ava, Missouri in the middle of nowhere, you know, and mosquitoes and everything and carpet stains in an old church campground. But this huge extended family gets together and there's this awareness of love, unconditional willingness to sacrifice and serve each other. We're all different personalities. Some of us are in really hard times right now. Some of us are in really good times, but we love each other. And there's this strength that comes from that. That's what this should be in part, is we gather on Sundays. The extended Christian family is coming together. Why do we come together? To lift up the name of Jesus, to worship him. And then we come together not to stay together, but we come together to be sent with the hope of Jesus Christ to go to those who are broken, to go who those are lost, to go to them, to share this love and invite them to come and to know Jesus Christ. That's what we do. That's who we are. In Romans 12:10, Paul says this in the same chapter, a few verses later, he says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. You see, love for one another is foundational to all of the Christian life, Christian community in the church. Without obedience to Jesus' command to love one another, it's impossible for us to forgive. It's impossible for us to pray for one another. It's impossible for us to serve one another. Christian love is the foundation. So what specifically does it mean? What does it mean to love one another? And as I kind of am going to just share a few traits of that, I don't want to be simplistic, but I don't want to be confusing. I think at the simplest level, when we talk about what it means to love one another, we need to look at Jesus. If we want to know how to love somebody and love one another in the church, we need to be with Jesus. Now, I could give three steps, and I've been guilty of that before. Three steps, do these things, then it'll happen. And there is some reason to clarifying scripture down to a very understandable point, so you can really take that away, and I can maybe take measurable steps. But on a very simple level, it's this. Look to Jesus. Walk with him. Experience his love. Slow down. Make a commitment that you're going to spend time with him every day. Walk with him. That's as simple as I can say it when it comes to how we love one another. Be with Jesus. Keep being with Jesus. Keep walking with him. Christian love, as we walk with him, I believe we can observe some things about what that love looks like. First, it's an attitude. It is an attitude. Dependent. It's a way of viewing our lives that we are dependent upon Christ. It's a basic understanding and a mindset that says if I want to love one another and other people, I can't look within. Because this kind of love I can't manufacture in my own heart. I need Jesus. So it's a mindset that recognizes that we love because God first loved. So before I can love other people as Jesus loved me, I have to know Jesus and experience his love. I think in my own life, at times when I may become short with people, especially in my family, times when I may start to look less like Jesus, it's usually because I've been spending less time with Jesus. When I spend more time with Jesus, experiencing his love, his affirmation in my heart, my life, it's amazing. His love starts to flow through me rather than me trying to manufacture it. So it's an attitude. It's an attitude of dependence upon Jesus that recognizes that we need God. And this love is from him. So we've got to go to the source. Keep going to the source. I think prayer is so vital for this. If we're to love one another, prayer. Dependence upon God is vital for the formation of this love. Christian love is also a commitment. It is a commitment. I think this is really important because more than just a sentiment or an emotion, Christian love is an intentional, ongoing commitment. And we can't overlook that because emotions come and go. We can be really good at doing something for a short amount of time, then stopping it. But genuine Christian love is an ongoing commitment. What's it a commitment for? Or two, it's a commitment to seek the well-being of another. It's a commitment to practice Christian truth in how we relate to one another. I don't want to overlook that point, but if I really love you, and if you really love me, then it becomes very important that I know what God has to say about how I should live towards you. So if I attempt to make decisions in my relationships that are all out about, this is what I think is best for me and my family. This is what I think is best that we do this and don't do this. I'm going to be short-sighted. But if I genuinely love you as God, as Jesus has loved me, then I want to make sure that everything I do to relate to you, everything you do to relate to me and the body of Jesus is based upon Christian truth. What does Jesus say? Jesus says we're to forgive. Jesus says all kinds of things that we're to do and not to do in our relationships because he loves us. So Christian love involves a commitment to seek the well-being of another, but a commitment to practice Christian truth in my relationships. So what God tells me to do, even if I don't want to do it, I need to do because he is the one who ultimately is love. Relationships go wrong often when instead of looking to Jesus on how I should handle something, I look to me. Then things start to unravel. Christian truth is vital. We cannot overlook that. And I think that's why one of the reasons reading scripture is so important, not just to know God, that's vital to it. It's so much more than a legalistic thing we do. It is essential that I know and hear what God has to say about how I should relate to you and how I should relate and how we together as a church should relate. Christian truth is so essential. It's a commitment to treat others as we would want to be treated. And it's a commitment to serve others as Christ has served us. Christian love is an attitude, it's a commitment, and it's an action. It's an action. We can't just have a perspective and then a commitment in our minds and in our hearts without having that overflow into us taking action. As we are led through Scripture, as we begin to understand and discern through the Holy Spirit how we should handle a situation, we seek to obey Christ and to live as him towards one another. That's what our families need. That's what our churches need more than anything, our communities, is that we would live towards other people as Jesus has lived towards us, that we would reflect that love. It is an attitude, it's a commitment, and it's an action. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 3 says this, chapter 12 to 13, this is a prayer he is praying for a church. And I think it's an appropriate prayer that we would pray as we begin this series. He says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. The Apostle Paul is praying here. He's praying that the church's hearts would increase and would abound in love for one another. If the Apostle Paul is praying that, ought we to be praying that for one another? We should be praying and saying, God, would you help? That can start with me. Help my love to abound and increase more and more for others. Father, would you help our churches? And I think we should do this. Pray for one another. Pray that God would help us, our church family's love, to grow and abound and increase for one another and for everyone. Maybe we overlook that at times. We need to pray that for each other. When we're doing that, I think it means this in part. It means that what we're saying is rather than just saying, all right, let's love one another, let's encourage one another, let's go do it, we're saying that unless we look to Jesus and ask him to do this for us and in us, we cannot do this. We will gravitate towards self-centeredness. So let's pray for one another that this love, one of the greatest things I love hearing as a pastor is when a guest comes to our church and they say, there's something different here. I love when I hear this. And they say, it's very warm and loving. I feel like it's a family. I feel like I could be welcomed here. And I've heard that over and over. Let's not presume on that. Let's ask God to grow that in deeper and newer ways in our church family. I haven't arrived. We haven't arrived. Let's look to him and let's say, God, let's, like the Apostle Paul, say, may the Lord Jesus, may you increase and abound our love for one another and for everyone. Jesus, would you do that? Jesus said that if you ask anything in my name according to my will, it will be done. You can pray this prayer and without any doubt, this is from God's words itself, God himself will answer it. I have zero doubt on that. Now, if I ask God that the Packers would win the Super Bowl this year, amen, because the Vikings are going to, right? So there's tons of doubt there. And sometimes we get caught, but this is a prayer I can take to the bank. Jesus, make my love grow for you. Jesus, make my love grow for your people, the church, my family. This is my family. Hey, Jesus, would you make our love grow for outside of the church? For those who are broken, lost, and they need this. You know, our biological families grow older and they separate, they move. Death happens. We say goodbye to loved ones. Marriages fall apart. Where are people to turn and find love if it's not us? Let's pray. Let's ask God to enable us to increase our love for one another. And as he does, guess what? The other things are going to fall right into place. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you that we get to celebrate this day of even in your family and in with this family of dedicating Levi and the joy of that moment. It reminds us of our need for one another. As we do that, we're aware that the greatest need in our life we cannot meet in and of ourselves, that we need you. Jesus, we thank you that we can turn to you. We can trust in you. We're thankful that the reality of community and relationship that we need and belonging can be found by anyone here today. Your word just says that we are to turn to Jesus to be saved. We are to turn to Christ to call on his name, to confess our sins, and to turn to him as our Savior and Lord. When we do that, your word tells us that through the Holy Spirit, we are adopted into God's family. Every one of us here today, we're adopted. You chose us. We did not first choose you. You saw us. God, you saw our need. You saw all the unhealthy ways we were seeking to meet that need. And you chose us. And we, as a result of that, are adopted and we belong and we are loved by you. Father, your word says that it is your desire that everyone would be saved and that that belonging is conditioned upon faith. And we have this message to share. But we know, God, that no matter what we do as a church, no matter what we say, no matter what we do, if we do not have love, we cannot accomplish the good things that you would wish us to do for you. So God, we pray in Jesus' name, just like Paul shared, we pray this prayer that you would increase our love for one another, that you would cause it to abound for Jesus' sake, that you would accomplish this in my heart, in our hearts, in our homes, and that when we gather on Sundays, it would be like a joyous gathering of an extended family. And this is your family. This is your family that we belong to. And we celebrate you. And we want others Father, we want others to be able to share in this love that we have found. And we cannot do that on our own. So we pray and we seek that you would enable us to do that. Father, that you would purify our hearts to where our motives would truly be the love of Jesus Christ. We give you praise in praying this because we have no doubt at all that we are praying according to your will. And we know that when we pray in faith according to your will, we have what we ask. So I'm excited. We're excited in the days to come to look and see the growing love of Jesus in this church. And when we see that, it's not going to be a pat on the back to anyone here. It's going to be all praise and glory and honor belong to one, Jesus, who is love. We give you thanks and we pray this in his name. Amen.